Okay, so I'm going to start. We didn't finish up Revelation chapter 1 last week, which is probably no surprise. So I'm going to start today, and I'm just going to read through it. We're probably going to be in this again next week. We'll see how far we make it today. There's a couple of things that I want us to pick out of this today. And as we started off last week, kind of with this idea that we're going to press through the book of Revelation, looking to capture this essence of what we find in chapter 1, verse 3, where it says, "Blessed is the one who reads aloud the words of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear and who keep what is written in it, for the time is near." My prayer is that as we just kind of progress through this, reading it, listening to it, consuming in our hearts and our minds the words of this, that we would find this to be true time and time again. So today I'm going to read this. What I want you to be picking out today, because we're going to be running up against the bell probably here in the next 5 minutes, if not sooner, is I want you to be asking yourself these questions as I read through it. Who is this written for? And then we're going to... less than a minute. That was early. I just have to say that was super early. So here's what we're going to do. I'm going to read through it. And I want you to hear, scratch what I just said. Okay. Instead of listening for who it's for, here's what I want us to focus on today. What does it say about Christ? What are the titles or terms that we see associated with Christ in this text? I'm going to read it. Here's what I want you to do as you go through. I want you to note in your Bible any reference in any way that seems to be pointing to or referring to Christ. In this, what I want us to see, kind of the idea that I want us to see as we pay attention to this aspect of chapter 1, is one of the major themes that I pointed out in the introductory session for Revelation, is this idea that throughout this book, we have this theme of Christ's victory and exaltation being put on full display. So today, as I read through it, I want us to notice that today. There's lots of things that we can notice in this text, but since we've kind of run up against the bell for the day, I want us to focus primarily on that. So I'm going to read the whole chapter. I'll read it. And then what I'm going to do is I'm going to ask for volunteers along the way to point out to me places where we see Jesus referenced and titles or phrases that are kind of associated with him. When you do that, here's what I ask, and this is why I say make note as we're going through, because it's a big chapter. There's lots of places that we could look. I would like for you, when you're making reference to a particular phrase, to hit us with the verse. So, for instance, if it's in verse 5, I'd like to point out that it calls him the faithful witness in verse 5. So, I'm going to ask for you guys. To give me those references along the way. So pay attention for it. There are quite a number of them. If you don't notice them, I've gone through myself and I've made note of them. So, but I think that if we go through this, they're going to jump out to us. So pay attention to that. Here we go. Revelation chapter 1, verse 1. "The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants the things that must soon take place. He made it known by sending his angel to his servant John, who bore witness to the word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ, even to all that he saw. Blessed is the one who reads aloud the words of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear and who keep what is written in it, for the time is near. John, to the seven churches that are in Asia, grace to you and peace to him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, the ruler of kings on earth, to him who loves us and has freed us from his sin, from our sins by his blood and made us a kingdom, priest is God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Verse 7, behold, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him, and all tribes of earth will wail on account of him. Even so, amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. Verse 9, I, John, your brother and partner in the tribulation and the kingdom and the patient and the kingdom and the patient endurance that are in Jesus, was on the island called Patmos on account of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a loud voice like a trumpet saying, write what you see in a book and send it to the seven churches, to Ephesus, to Smyrna, and to Pergamum, and to Thyatira, and to Sardis, and to Philadelphia, and to Laodicea. Then I turned to see the voice that was speaking to me, and on turning, I saw seven golden lampstands, and in the midst of the lampstands, one like a son of man, clothed with a long robe and with a golden sash around his chest. The hairs of his head were white like white wool, like snow. His eyes were like a flame of fire. His feet were like burnished bronze refined in a furnace, and his voice was like the roar of many waters. In his right hand he held seven stars. From his mouth came a sharp two-edged sword, and his face was like the sun shining in full strength. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead, and he laid his right hand on me and saying, fear not, I am the first and the last, the living one. I died, and behold, I am alive forevermore, and I have the keys of death and Hades. Write therefore the things that you have seen, those that are and those that are to take place after this. As for the mystery of the seven stars that you saw in my right hand and the seven golden lampstands, the seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven lampstands are the seven churches. All right, so hopefully we paid attention along the way. Hopefully we were taking notes as to references to Christ. So with this idea that throughout this book, this theme of Christ's victory and exaltation is put on full display, I wonder if we would expect then to see extravagant language used or laid upon him or attributed to him as we read through the opening chapter of this book. And I think, yes, we would see this. So has anybody noticed along the way any references made to Jesus? References that would exalt him, references that would attribute greatness to him, victory to him here. Anyone want to volunteer a location that we might look? You don't have to pick the first one. You also don't have to go into detail about what that thing is. So I just want us to highlight where they are. Do that as a group together, and then perhaps someone notices a place where it's referenced where someone else didn't, and in sharing like this, we'll together grow in, one, our ability to identify these things as we pass through, and two, we'll do it as a community of believers together. I'm going to make a note to myself that I bring some pens. It should have pens in it, but it does not. we'll get that next time. So anybody
in verse 5 we have three.
Okay. So in verse 5, what are the three that we have in verse 5, Dustin?
Faithful witness.
Firstborn of the dead.
Ruler of the kings
on earth. All right, so we get three references there. Is there any other references throughout this first chapter that we would see?
Verse 5 kept going. I'm sorry.
Okay.
He who loves us.
He who loves us. All right. This is, I think this is important, right? This is not necessarily a title, but this is a significant reference to who it is that's speaking here, and should be greatly encouraging that the one that's seeing this vision, the one that's telling us what happened, is the one who loved us and
freed us from our sins by his blood.
Has freed us. So he loves us. He's the one who loves us. He's the one who's freed us. We're reminded how he did that in this, that it came at a high cost, his very life. Any other places in this chapter?
Verse 7.
All right, in verse 7.
Look, he's returning with the clouds, and every eye will see him, and even those who pierced him. The tribes and earth were warned because of him. Is that the one I was thinking about? I'm sorry.
No, that's it. So, yeah, every eye will see him. So he's the one who will return, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him. I want us to put a pin in that thought of what that means and in what sense we are intended to understand that those who pierced him would see him. I've made a note here to that particular reference as also pointing towards something that we've seen and talked about in the past is how in the opening verses 1, 2, and 3, we see this urgency put forward in the text. It speaks in verse 1 of things that must soon take place. We see at the end of verse 3, for the time is near. And then in verse 7 here, as we're, again, like this is a reference made to Jesus, the one who will come in the clouds. We see this reference to those who pierced him seeing him. So I just want to point out that that's interesting and that that's something that we should consider at some point in the future. In what sense will he return and they who pierced him see him? Is this also adding to the urgency that we see put forward in the early verses of this chapter? Or is this something that we would, if we were readers of this text, be expecting to happen some thousands of years into the future, right? As we're reading this, as we're getting an idea, these are some of the ideas that I want us to be
Those who pierced, you know, even those who...
Even those who pierced him will...
Those people are alive right now while he's writing.
While these... Possibly. Yes, while there's an urgency in this text that seems to come forth in this as well. Why is a question that I have as I read this. We'll touch on that perhaps next week. Let's continue forward with this. References being made to Jesus here. Are there any others that we see along the way?
If you go back to 6, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever.
Yes. Yes. So he is the one who will have glory and dominion forever and ever. And this, like, this wording of praise towards him like that is John putting forward these praises upon the one who is deserving of them, right? The one who will have... So this, again, like this idea of victory, we're beginning to see it come out here. Another place, like this idea that he has made us a kingdom and priests to his God and Father, like that speaks to his authority there.
It's like the completion. It said he loved us, he freed us,
yes,
and he made us a kingdom.
Yes. So he's the one that has the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. But he's not just having that and it being set aside, but there's this aspect of he's applying that authority, right? He's using that authority. And in doing that, he has made us a kingdom. We are, as his people, a kingdom. I think when I consider this and I consider the Lord's Prayer and I consider that Christ's pattern for us is to pray that his kingdom would come, his will would be done on earth as it is in heaven. I think practically one of the ways that works out in us is that we live lives here on earth that affect change in the places that he's put us, right? That his kingdom comes by way of his church. And I'm not just talking about a building. I'm talking about the people that make up a church, that live lives in the communities that they find themselves. So he is a king. He has a kingdom. And he's made us a kingdom and priest to his God and Father. Now, his God and Father, this again pointing, I think, another reference to who he is, the Son. Are there any other references that we find?
I think verse 1 sets up what you were talking about with him not only having the authority, but also being executing his authority.
Yep.
Where the very first word is the revelation of Jesus Christ. Whether you interpret that as a revelation about Jesus Christ or the revelation given by Jesus Christ, or whether it's ambiguous on purpose and it's both.
Yeah, I think it definitely could be taken as both there. Yeah.
He has the authority to give the revelation. He is giving the revelation, and he is worthy of a revelation.
Yeah, another thing that we see here, so like, look at the words that it uses in reference to us in chapter 1, verse 1 there. Gave him to show to his, what? Servants. Now, Jesus is our brother. Jesus is our friend, right? But the reference that we get here, the reference to like this being a servant is a call out of who his position, what his position is here. He is king, right? So there's this elevate. We begin seeing in the opening chapter of the book of Revelation this elevation and exaltation of Christ, of his position, and we see how we begin seeing how that plays out in all his relationships that he has throughout. Right? Are there any others that we see in this text?
Verse 8.
All right, verse 8. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. All right. I want to use this as an opportunity to kind of jump back up to verse 4, where we see this same type of reference. Is made in verse 4. Him who is and who was and who is to come is also spoken of there in verse 4. Are there any other references? Do you all see any other references worth mentioning as we go through here? I want to mention this one while we're here. Let's look down at verse 13. So there's one like a son of man that we see here. So this is a reference here again to Jesus. But not only do I want to point out that it mentions one like a son of man, which is a callback to some Old Testament things there. But I also want to point out where this one like the son of man is. Where is he standing? He's in the midst of the lampstands, which we're told, if we look down into verse 20, the lampstands are pointing to, symbolizing what? The churches, okay? So I want us to think about one like a son of man. Where have we heard that phrase before? Where in the Old Testament? We've got the fiery furnace, and we look into the fiery furnace, and we see standing amongst those who are in the fiery furnace, one like the Son of Man. So where do we see the Son of Man standing here? In the midst of the lampstands. The lampstands being the churches. We should rightly make connections in our mind between the last time that we've seen phrases like that in the situations, and then seeing it here. So he was in the midst of the furnace with the ones enduring. We see him here with that same type of language in the midst of the lampstand. So might we conclude then that he's with us in the difficulties, he's with us in the turmoil, the tribulation, the trials, that he's not afar off, he's one who is near. So I think that not only is he one like the Son of Man, but he's not, this also demonstrates and makes reference to the fact that he is near to us, right? And then verse 16, a similar type of reference here. So in his right hand, he held seven stars, and the seven stars being the seven angels of the seven churches. We see that made clear in verse 20. Next week, we'll probably, or in the weeks to come, we're going to dig a little bit more into this, like who are the angels here? Are these like what we consider angels, or is this a reference to simply messengers? Because the word that we often translate as angels, it can be used just to refer to a messenger of God. So this could either be like literal angels, or this could be the pastors of these churches that he's speaking to here. Either way, they are in his right hand. So he's the one that holds the leadership, or the ones that are bringing these messages to the churches. He is the one that holds them in his hand. So there's some comfort for us to get there. For the sake of time, I'm going to hit a couple of more real quickly. If we look in verse 17 and 18, we see him referred to as the first and the last. In verse 18, he's referred to as the living one. He says that I died and behold, I am alive forevermore. So a lot's wrapped up in that. One is that he's the one that came and died, and that death does not have a hold on him. Again, demonstrating his authority, his rule, his power, even over death itself, because he says of himself, behold, I am alive forevermore. And not only that, but again, this reference of these themes of victory, the victories of Christ, the authority of Christ put forward in the fact that he says, I have the keys of death and Hades. So this, the death and Hades, is going to make a few appearances throughout this book that we're going to be spending a good deal of time in. So the fact that he holds the keys of death and Hades, death, the grave, death, hell, is significant for us. So he has all authority. I think that's one of the things that I want us to take away from this, this chapter, first and foremost, is that this chapter sets up the rest of the book so that there is no question in our minds who it is who reigns supreme throughout the book of Revelation. Christ reigns victorious. He reigns supreme. This is a theme threaded throughout. We will, as we go through, I'll be asking you again and again to work with me in identifying these places as we go chapter after chapter, verse after verse, to dig out this reality. As we do this, here's the thing that I want us to take away with us today. This book, as often as we approach it and we feel intimidated by it, if we pay close attention to the way we're introduced to what he's going to tell us, we ought to set up in our minds that whatever's coming next is only going to build on this reality, that he is king, that he has authority, that he reigns supreme, that he has dominion, that he is in control, right? He is King of Kings, Lord of Lords. He has a kingdom. We have been made a kingdom and priests to his God. This is not a book that we should fear what we read throughout it, right? Because he is our God. You with me?
Yes.
All right. Yeah. So next week we'll dig in a little bit more to this. We're going to start thinking about some other questions next week regarding the churches, regarding the urgency of this message, and how this should shape the way that we look at this book as we continue reading through it.